Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
My name's Ben. I write some videos, and I hang out with you, Scott. And today, we're going to cover a very common question that a lot of people don't ask until it's forced upon them.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll do it then.
What's the question?
Okay, all right.
We both know it. It's no mystery, but...
I thought there was more juggling.
Give me... Oh, it could be.
No, okay, so...
Well, you know what? Let's go off the topic then for a moment.
All right.
Because something happened to me the other day.
Is this what Scott sees?
Sort of.
Okay.
All right. On the way to and from work, I go through a toll booth every day.
Right, okay.
Georgia 400. There's a 50 cents that you pay, the 50 cent toll booth.
Mm-hmm.
So... This is one of the high points in my day. I'm laughing because this is ridiculous. I live for the moment when that toll gate bar opens up, and I'm on the highway. So I have this is my shot to do this, you know, like the fastest 0 to 60 sprint that I can do. Only it's usually a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I merge with the other traffic and everything, it's a sport.
It's a straightaway.
It is, and it's a great sport. It's a lot of fun. So. There I am going home. I paid my 50 cents, and I'm waiting for the gate to open, which is seconds later. You know, I'm ready. I got the car set to go.
Yeah.
I let the clutch out a little fast, spinning tires. I go second gear, spinning tires a little bit again. And my window's still down because I had thrown the change out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this wail next to me, just that unbelievable engine wail. Great sound, right? And I realize that next to me is a Porsche GT3. And it appears that I am, and this is unintentional, it appears to him probably like I'm trying to race him.
Oh,
which
man.
Is ridiculous because I have this Honda Civic, right? And
sorry, I'm laughing.
I felt ridiculous, you know, and it was unintentional. So I was in an unintentional drag race with a Porsche GT3. Of course, he could blow the doors off me, you know, simple, real easily. But it was embarrassing for me. I didn't mean it to be that way, but it was kind of cool listening to him, you know, take off. But I didn't mean to do that at all.
He also took you seriously.
That happens sometimes, though, at stoplights to me, too. And this one was just more pronounced, I guess, because here we are leaving the gate at the
exact
same time.
Yeah, there's the gate going up.
We were right next to each other, and I had just a little bit of a jump, and, of course, he just flew past me. So, accidental drag racing.
You probably made his day.
Yeah. But, see, that's way off topic.
That you know what? That's not really off topic for the show. So I think we're good. I think we're good.
Yeah.
That's better than my story. I had an entirely pointless story.
That one was also.
No, that was pretty cool.
Okay.
I actually wanted to, or we both wanted to, talk about why somebody's car won't start. Common reasons. I mean, we've all had it happen. If you know anything about cars, which for some people that could qualify as just how to change a tire, for instance, then odds are... Sometime in your life, somebody has called you in an utter panic about something going wrong with their car. Yeah. And they're usually going to say, you're going to say, what's wrong with it? And they'll say, it won't start.
It won't start. It won't start. And you're on the phone saying, well,
why?
Diagnose this here on the phone, right?
Sure. Yeah. It's not like in the movies where you tell where the pilot on an airplane has died and ground control steers them in.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that could happen.
Here's the good news is that there's really... If the car simply won't start, I mean, it's
won't turn over
more times than not. We're going to go into some of just the most basic reasons it won't start, and we'll have some of the most common reasons that it won't start. And this may get you out of a jam. And also, if you pay attention, you might be able to help somebody else, even over the phone, tell them how to start that car. It's really that simple. All it takes is just a little bit of diagnostic skills that, you know, you pay attention to what's happening. You be very vigilant about, you know, listening to what's happening, watching what's happening, and, I don't know, just making sure that, you know, everything is going the way it should up to a certain point, and then you can figure out where everything's going wrong.
You locate and isolate the problem, generally. It's just a scientific method.
You know, as a matter of fact, not today, but sometime soon, there's a diagnostic process that you can go through. It's got just a few – it's like six steps.
Oh, why haven't we done that? That's a good one.
It would clearly tell you how to, well, at least diagnose a problem. You might not be able to completely repair it yourself, but depending on what it is, but it'll be very helpful. Someday we'll do that soon, I promise.
Because knowing is half the – I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. All right. Even our producer, Matt, is shaking
his
head.
Knowing is half the battle. There you go.
Thank you, Scott.
You got to get out. Yeah.
All right. So what – let's say you're in the back part.
There's just a few things we need to know first, and there's a real simple – I won't go into much detail.
Set it up.
Four things that a car needs – an engine needs in order to be able to start. The first one is fuel. You have to have the right fuel air mixture, or at least some fuel. You also have to have spark, which has to be a good strong spark. It can't be a weak spark, and it has to be at exactly the right amount, right time. And that kind of ties into this next one, which is the timing. You have to make sure the timing's correct, and that is how the valves open and close at the right time, let the fuel in, exhaust out, etc. And it has to have decent compression. If you have low compression, the engine won't start. So you have to have good compression in the engine. And again, that goes back to timing in a way that if the timing belt's broken, you know, you're going to have poor compression, et cetera. So those four things, fuel, spark, timing, and compression are required to start an engine. And you're probably going to notice the problem right when you turn the key. That's where most people realize something's wrong. It's not afterwards. It's not that the engine runs and then dies, although that does happen.
That happens, yeah.
There's a lot of different reasons that a car won't continue to run. We're going to talk about the reasons that a car won't start right from the beginning. So we're talking about when you get in the car, turn the key, nothing.
Okay.
And there are varying degrees of that, too, and that's what we get into here. And that's where all the your diagnostic skills, your detective skills come in.
Nice. Deduction. There we go.
Exactly.
I like that.
So I guess where do you want to start? Do you want to just go down the list? There's about five really common ones that we can go through.
Let's do a list. Let's do a fiver.
Okay. All right. And these are in I guess there's no real order to these really. These are five very common situations, I guess, that you might find yourself in. First thing, Ben, what you should do. I almost forgot this bit of advice. First thing that you should do is you should check the loose nut behind the wheel. That's usually the problem in your situation.
Oh, I get it, because I'm the loose nut. Clever, clever.
Okay. Boy, that was lame.
You looked at your notes.
I did. I was looking around like, oh man, where's my notes? I gotta tell Ben he's a loose nut behind the wheel.
That's cool. I've been.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine.
Sorry, man. That was lame.
No, actually, I'm giving you a hard time about it, but I'll probably use that one later.
I have to cut that out.
I'll try not to use it on the air. Yeah, I promise you, we won't put it on the air.
One thing you do need to watch for in all this, in every situation, though, if you turn the key on and the interior lights are bright, it's not your battery. If your interior lights are working, they're working fine, they're full strength. If they're really weak, you've probably got a battery situation going on, and that's easy to point, you know, easy to figure out.
That's an excellent point.
And you also want to make sure that your car is in neutral. Or in park, hopefully in park, you know, if you're in an automatic. And make sure that if you've got a manual, make sure the clutch is pushed in all the way, because some people, you know, sometimes you get it pushed in three quarters of the way and you don't hit that switch and allow it to start. Also, the ignition switch. There could be a problem with the ignition switch itself, but that's not likely.
That's not the most common.
No, it's not very common. And then the last one would be starter motor or starter solenoid, which is bad, and that's also not very common. Now, those are just some quick things that you need to pay attention to ahead of time. Just make sure that it's none of those. The first, as far as we're going through our five here, the first one is if you turn the key and there's absolutely no sound at all.
Not even the
Not even a click. You just turn the key, absolutely nothing happens, and that's where you have to pay attention. You have to understand if you listen for a click, and if you don't hear a click at all, that means you've probably got bad battery connections. And that's easy enough. That's really simple. Open the hood, check the battery. There's either going to be so much corrosion on the thing that you know it's not making contact. Maybe it's shaken loose over the miles. It's actually come totally off, or it's just loose. There could be the wiring going to the battery. Check all of that. Just kind of shake them around, make sure that there's good connections. If you need to, take it off, clean it, put it back on. There's a good chance your car is going to start up, because no sound indicates the battery isn't giving you anything at all.
Which it should at least give you some half-hearted attempt.
Something, yeah. Because, I mean, you don't just go from a car that works fine. It wouldn't drain itself to that point. Now, you may get into a car where the battery is totally dead. I mean, where it's been, let's say the car's been in storage for 15 years.
Yeah.
That's an extreme situation, but you're not going to hear a sound from that either if you don't have a battery, the charger system going. The next one is if you hear a clicking noise, but it won't start. Now, that's common.
Yeah.
That's really common. I've had this happen so many times to me. Mm-hmm. You get in the batteries, it's clicking. It's not the battery, really. But that is the sign of a dead battery, and you may have a loose starter connection. Mm-hmm. So could be that, but it's not likely. Most likely you got a dead battery, and it's probably because you left the light on. Maybe the trunk was, you know, left open and the light in there was on, something like that.
Something was sucking electricity while the car was sitting.
Maybe you installed a new car stereo and you didn't do it exactly right. I've done that before. And, you know, that you get out not realizing that the radio stays on all night in the car. That's a problem.
Like my battery operated, or not battery operated, well, car battery operated, lava lamp.
Come on, do you really have
a... call it a...
Do you really have a lava lamp?
Well, not in my real car, Scott, but I have big dreams.
Oh,
so.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
in your cool custom van.
Oh, man. You brought it back.
Yeah.
That's why I love hanging out with you. Yes, I'm going to get that van.
Awesome. With lava lamps.
With just one, dude. It'll be tasteful. I feel like you're giving me a hard time. It'll look really classy.
I'm sure it'll be classy.
All right. What's next?
Next one. The engine cranks. But no start. So you've been there probably fast, right?
I call that the horror movie start.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. And the problem with this one is, let's just tell them what it is maybe first. It's probably a fuel problem. It's probably a supply issue. You may be out of gas, so as it sounds, take a look at your gas gauge and make sure you've got fuel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that's the problem. It could be a clog line, could be no spark. That's causing that as well. That's a little less likely, but still possible.
You could also be somehow on just low on gas and at an angle.
We talked about this, right?
We did, yeah.
Go ahead. You want to tell me what you told me? Because I think people find this interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep it brief. Okay. So when we were looking at this topic, I had actually asked you if this was true earlier because I didn't want to say it on air if it wasn't. But one day, way back in my checkered past, I was in San Francisco. And I was driving someone else's car, and it was parked, and I could not get it to really start. And then when I got it started, and this is San Francisco, so of course, let's assume, it's on a very steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I have the car just going, I'm pulling out, then it dies on me.
As but you've already pulled out.
I've already pulled out. I can't remember exactly how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it chugged out on me, and then I tried to start it again, and it wouldn't start, but I was already going down.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, I had one of those moments of clarity.
So you've got no steering, really.
No power steering,
No power steering. You've got no brakes, really. I mean, other than, you know, you have to pump them to make them solid again.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you do?
Well, there was this very steep hill again, and there was a gas station at the bottom of the hill, and then on either side of the hill, again, this being a large urban area, there were cars already parked. I saw this one space about halfway down the hill, and I thought, is there some way? No, I was crazy at this time, Scott. I was thinking, is there some way that I could, you know, pump the brakes and use the emergency brake to sort of maneuver myself to the side?
Yeah.
And then as I was picking up speed, despite pumping the brakes, I thought, no, there is no way that will turn out well.
No.
So I coasted down to the gas station, and you know I had to do the double hand turning,
to kind of horse it into the parking lot there,
almost like on the wheel of a ship.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the gas station, I didn't have enough momentum to get over toward where the gas pumps were, so I ended up pulling over near the vacuum and the air compressor stuff, and I stopped, and I was on this flat surface. And I got out, looked at the car, and everything.
Looked at it to make sure it still wasn't running.
Yeah. gave myself a second outside of the car. Yeah. I'll admit, I went and got a Gatorade.
Well, you're still alive. That's good. Yeah.
And then I got back in and I tried to start it, and it started.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I asked you about this. You confirmed it. If you're low on fuel, depending on the type of car you have and the incline of the surface you're on, the gas may be on the other side of the tank.
The pickup for the fuel might be on the opposite side of the tank, and that's why a lot of times if you're driving, like I'll park my car here and on an angle. Sometimes I'll see that, you know, it looks like I have less or more fuel than I had when I parked it.
Yeah.
And it'll adjust itself eventually. But you had a fuel starvation issue going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of the extreme angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So. How do you like that? Two podcasts in a row San Francisco comes up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe we should maybe we should go check that place out.
I think so. I like it.
I've only been the once.
I've been twice.
Yeah.
One time for a week. It was decent. Mm. Here we are. We're off topic again.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, no. Fair enough. Go on.
Back on. Good
back,
story, though.
Back on topic.
Number four.
Number four.
The engine does start but dies shortly afterwards. And, oh, there's what you're talking
there
about.
There we go.
But this is different because this could be attributed to a choke issue. Like if you have a carburetor, there's a choke, an engine choke, air choke, rather, for the carburetor. And that may be the problem. So, you know, I have that checked out. But if you have a fuel-injected engine and this happens, probably time to take it in and have it inspected because that's kind of mystery.
Odds are that's something that we don't want to say will be beyond your deductive abilities.
Most likely will be on be beyond your deductive abilities.
And it's even more likely going to be difficult for you to diagnose and actually fix yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you are, in fact, a mechanic.
And again, that's if it starts but then dies right afterwards.
Right.
So that's a different situation. Now, here's one that I'm very familiar with, unfortunately.
Oh,
this
no.
is the last one.
All right.
We'll wrap it up with this one.
Okay.
This is bad news.
What is it?
Rainy day or a foggy day, your car won't start.
Why
and
is
it's,
that?
It's a simple fix. It really is. If you have a car with a distributor cap, if there's a crack in that cap or a bad seal, anytime there's moisture around that cap, you're not going to be able to start your car. It inhibits, you know, it doesn't allow the spark to travel in the right pattern, the path. It's bad news.
And this has happened to you?
This happened to me several times, different cars. One time it was a foggy day up north. It was a snowy day, really. It was cold, but it warmed up, got foggy, and I had this car up in northern Michigan. And I happened to have a hair dryer. We were staying at a hotel, and I happened to have a hair dryer. And I knew the problem. I knew it had this cracked cap, so because I had fixed it in the past with something else, just drying it off. We had a hair dryer, so I ran an extension cord from the lobby of the hotel out to my car, told him what I was doing, of course, and then used a hair dryer to get the car going.
Are you a MacGyver fan?
It seems like it, doesn't it? But I've just had a lot of crappy cars.
probably how he got started.
Yeah, exactly. But you kind of figure this stuff out as you go. You figure out what it is and how to remedy it. The real solution is to replace the cap or the seal or whatever is wrong with it. But there's also a way you can clean and dry the cap using there's sprays, commercially available sprays that you can spray into this thing that'll displace water. And you should probably treat those with that anyways. But if you have a cracked cap or a bad seal, you're not going anywhere if it's foggy.
Did you know WD-40 stands for water displacer, Formula 40?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh, good. Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Things we learn.
Yeah. There you go. Anything else to add to this one? Because I know there's a lot more. I mean, there's a ton of no-start conditions because it can be the keys. It can be, because
it can be some sort of anti-theft device.
Exactly. And that plays into the key thing, too. I mean, it's usually not the key itself unless it's a key with a computer chip in it.
Yeah.
Then it's... it can be very likely that it's key.
Which I have one like that.
Try to remember also if you had engine work done recently because, chances are there's something just not right there. Maybe the battery wasn't hooked up fully. Maybe there's just something else askew under there that, they didn't replace or repair right. Just try to remember any repairs you've had recently. If you parked, if you drove through a deep puddle or something, that can also cause some problems. So, maybe you get a water issue like what we just talked about, and you're getting some spark issue. There's a lot of things you need to be aware of. And if you're careful about it and if you know the signs to watch for, what to listen for, I think you'll be okay. You can figure this out. And there's a ton of these articles online that'll tell you, if it sounds like this, then do this. And if this happens, do that. You can easily look those up and, just keyword search for, why won't my car start or something like that. But we kind of outline those for you here today.
And for the listeners who are saying, come on, guys, if somebody's car won't start, how are they going to go on the internet and check that out? Oh, no. We're talking about you being good Samaritans when your friends from the beginning of the show call you.
Also.
Yeah.
Be prepared. So, if you do it on your own and then you know what to look for, then you'll be the hero someday when you can get somebody's car started that, you're stuck at a party somewhere.
Aces. I think we've got this one. You want to do some listener mail?
I need
your help with it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Scott, here's what I need your help with. The listener mail itself is actually very well written, very nice person writing to us. But the name gave me a difficult time, which is why I put this off.
Are you asking me for help with the name?
I am. It's spelled A-R-I-A-D-N-E.
Aradne.
Aradne? Ariadne?
I don't know. Sorry, I don't mean to butcher the name.
Sorry in advance, but we did want to read this letter online. It's hilarious.
Is it?
Yeah. So, writing in about the pet peeves topic, she notes that she also really gets angry when oversized vehicles bully her on the road because she drives an original Honda Insight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I like those.
Yeah, and it, you know, she says, it's tiny, but I don't drive slowly. I jackrabbit off of green lights. If anyone on the road tailgates me, edges into my lane. Most of the time, it's someone in an SUV or truck. I know they see me.
So they're bullies.
She advances that they just do it to be jerks.
Okay.
But here's the really funny part. I'll do this fast. Somewhat related is my observation of the worst drivers. Hands down, in Kansas City, the worst drivers are people in gold vehicles. I don't know what it is. There's something about the type of person who would drive a gold car that makes him or her more likely to drive more slowly in any lane, to swerve, edge into other lanes, or be otherwise unpredictable.
Oh, Ben.
Gold SUVs, trucks, or minivans are even worse than gold cars. If we see any of these, my boyfriend and I make it a point to gun past them and then high-five each other for averting disaster.
Please direct all email to Ben Bowen at HowStuffWorks.com.
Well, no. This is listener mail. I thought it was funny, but I have not noticed the same thing. I've never been to Kansas City.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. So she's pointing out that gold cars just seem to be
in her
particularly
experience.
Mm-hmm. Driven by poor drivers.
Well, maybe there's just a group of people who all have gold cars. I think it's probably an isolated case, you know? There might be some self-selection bias.
It's funny, but I've heard other people say that you can send these to me, I guess. But I've heard other people say the same thing about PT Cruisers. Yep, and a long time ago, I remember hearing the same thing about Ford Escort GTs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, throughout time, I guess, you know, since the time of automobiles,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have people saying something like this. You know, they notice a trend, I guess, and it just is, for whatever reason, it strikes them as, hey, I got cut off yesterday by someone in a gold car.
Mm-hmm.
That must mean that all people who drive gold cars are bad drivers, but
not
the case.
Well,
let me be also,
I feel that it's okay for me to read this email because my second car was gold, so... Thanks so much for writing to us. We hope that we've helped you to help some other people if they give you that panic-ridden call about their car. Of course, check the battery. Scott and I broke down the main things your car needs to start, or your engine needs: fuel, spark, timing, compression. And anything that interferes with those can be bad news, right?
Yeah, right. That's basically. And really, we just hit the highlights, so there's a lot more out there. Search for it and be ready.
And while you're on the internet searching for anything, why not send us an email at
highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.